never know when we speak on Sunday. You know, are we still holding in Chayesar as it told us? So the advantage of the speaker is he takes advantage of both, whichever way he wants to go. So we'll try maybe today to incorporate aspects of both, and let's see what we come up with. In last week's parasha, Chayesara, this is last week, we find that the Mefarshim are very much perplexed by the first parasha. Torah tells the story of Avraham Avinu purchasing the Marasim of Pela for bearing Sarah Imenu. And the Rishonim are very much bothered. What's the purpose? What's the tachlis of this parasha? Why did the Torah provide us with this whole story of the purchase of the kept Mokum Kfura for Sarah Imenu? So we find several Perushim in the Mefarshim. The first perush we find is from the Ramban. Ramban offers, he brings several pshatim and several reasons for why the Torah illustrates the story of the whole purchase. And he says basically two things. First, he quotes from the Ibn Ezra. Interesting pshat. Ibn Ezra says, the purpose of this parasha is to teach us the chashivus of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Ramban has a major kasha. He doesn't understand. This is Bishlama, if Sarah died in Brooklyn, and Avraham Avinu was matriach to bring her all the way into Eretz Yisrael. So I understand. I see the cheshivas of being buried in Eretz Yisrael from the parasha. But where does Sarah die? She didn't die in Brooklyn. She died in Eretz Yisrael. So where would we expect to see Sarah Menu buried? Should Avraham Avinu have taken her out to Yarden? Out to Brooklyn, where should he have taken her? She died in Eretz Yisrael, and that was the proper place to bury her. So what chidush is there in telling me that here we see the cheshivas of being buried in Eretz Yisrael? So I once wanted to say, avart to answer, and say the following. It's very interesting, the parasha, if you listen carefully. It's very strange. Avram comes to Hebron, Livkais Lasar, Lispoy Lasar, Livkaisa. It says, Vayakam Avram, Meal Pene Mesoi, Vaidaber El Bene Ches, Lamor. He speaks to the Bene Ches. What does it say to the Bene Ches? Gervis Seishav and Echimachem, Tnuli Achuzas Kever. Give me a kever to be able to bury my wife, Sarah. Now, the Bene Ches answer. And ultimately, they come up with an idea. Vaydaber etam lemar, they say to him, he speaks to them, they tell him, wherever you want, you can bury. He bows back down to the Bnei Ches, and he tells them, listen, if you want to do me a teva, set me up with Ephraim ben Sechar, and let me have his Maras and Machpelah to bury my wife. Now, we would expect at this point the parasha to end. Avram and Ephraim ben Secher should go off to a side room. They should have a very, very personal discussion, a negotiation, how much he's going to pay. And then that's the end. But that's not what happens. Ephraim Yoshev, Besech b'nei Ches. Vayan Ephraim Achitias Avraham be'oznei, b'nei Ches. V'chol ba boi shar iroi lemor. He's speaking in front of the b'nei Ches. And he says, Loi adoini shmeini asadeh, asadeh nesati lach, v'amara sherboi l'chon asatia, le'enei v'nei ami, nesati lach kivor meisecha. V'ayishtachu Avraham, lifnei amaretz, back to the B'nei Ches. V'aydaber el Ephraim, be'oznei amaretz, What's going on? Why are the B'nai Ches so involved in this kinyan? They're out of the picture. We found our place. We found the owner. Let's have a private negotiation. Why are the B'nai Ches involved? So I want to suggest a chiddush. This was not a private purchase for Avraham Avinu. This was not Avraham Avinu buying something for himself, a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael, to bury his wife. Avraham is doing something much more. He is, for the first time in history, he's buying a piece of land, not for himself, but for Am Yisrael. He's creating Eretz Yisrael. He's creating a land that's going to be owned by the Jewish people, that's going to be handed down door after door as land that is in the possession of the Jewish people. And that's why this is not a private kinyan between Avraham and Ephraim. This is much bigger. Avraham is buying the land from B'nai Ches. They're involved too. They need their agreement. The purchase, the land is actually owned by Ephron, but there's more going on also. It's a hafka from the land as being B'nai Ches land to become Eretz Yisrael land. That's why the parsha concludes with a very interesting statement. It says, finally, Vayishma Avram el Ephron, Vayishkel Avram le Ephron, es a kesef asher, diber ozne B'nai Ches, arba me oy shekel kesef oyver la secher. Zok the Targum, what does it mean, oyver la secher? Says the Targum, Arba mea silin dichsaf miskabel schoira bichol medinta. It was currency that would be accepted anywhere in the world. The reason was because this was not a private purchase. This is an international purchase. It needs international currency. This is the moment in time, the first time, when the concept of Eretz Yisrael is being created by Avraham Avinu. And it's interesting, we have an interesting medrash. The medrash says there are three kinyonim that the goyim can't be seivel that were done. One is this one in Chevron. The next one, Yaakov Avinu, when he purchases what? When he purchases Shechem. And the last, when David HaMelech purchased the Makom HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Those three, the goyim can't be seivel. Why? What's special about them? Because they weren't private purchases. They were purchases for Klal Yisrael. Look what Yaakov Avinu did. The Medrash says Yaakov Avinu began to build wells. He began to do things for the tzibur. It wasn't private for himself. It was for a whole tzibur. That's why this is unique. And that's the pshat in the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra said it's to teach the cheshivas of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. What does it mean? It doesn't mean the physical boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. It means in Eretz Yisrael, and with the land that it's owned by Yidden, owned by Yisrael. That was created in this parsha. Ad kan, the Hezbar of the Ibn Ezra. But then there's another pshat, a simpler pshat. The Ramban offers his own pshat. The Ramban says, it's to teach us that we have to be mechabed the kever of the avos. The kever, makom kfura of the avos, has got to be respected and has got to be miskabed. What does he mean? We have to give kavod to the Maris of Machpelah. Now, pashtus, one could say, it means like any kever. We know from the Drosha Saran, when a tzaddik is buried in a kever, somehow there's an idea that the Shechina somehow dwells, somehow settles in that place. That's why Deri Deris, people daven by Kfarim, somehow there's a makom closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Some way, that's the inyan of a kever. But it's not mashm like that from the Ramban. The Ramban sounds like there's something special going on, something about the covet of the Avos. We have to be mechavid the avos by being mechavid their makom kvura. And Maris Machpelah, by the way, is probably of all the kfarim, in terms of the yichus, probably the oldest yichus of all the kfarim that we have today, of all of our kfarim. The building, I'm sure you've all been to Maras Mechpela, the building on top of Maras Mechpela was built by Hordus. If you look at the stones carefully, the stones of the Maras Mechpela resemble the stones that are on the wall of Har HaBayis. This is a kever which goes back at least 2,000 years, and maybe older. Some say that the kever goes back to the Zman Chashmonaim. It was one of the oldest kvarim built in Eretz Yisrael. We're told we have to be mechabit. What's the special inyan of being mechabit the kever of the Avos? What's so special about the Avos? Is it like kibud avim? You know, the halacha is a child has to be mechabit not only his father, but his grandfather. But it's meduyik in the paiskim. I won't go into the arichas now. Meduyik in the paiskim, that's only while your father is alive. If chas v'shalom, a father passes away and all he has is a grandfather, the mitzvah kibud avim is lost. What's the pshat? Because the chiyuv to be mechabit a grandfather is a hecha timtza of being mechabit your father. Your father has a chiyuv to mechabit the grandfather. Insofar as you have a chiyuv to mechabit your father, you have to mechabit your grandfather. There's no chiyuv to mechabit a father, keilu, kegon, that he was nifter. There's no chiyuv on a grandfather. So this can't be a simple concept of kibud avim. If it would be, we'd have a chiyuv to mechabit the kvarim of all our generations from way, way back. It sounds like there's something special going on about the Avos. For some reason, we have a special chiyuv to mechabit the Avos. What's it about? There's a very famous vart from Reb Chaim Volozhiner. I'm sure you know it, but we'll go through it again. Chaim Volozhiner asked the Stira Mishnayis, the end of Pirkei Avos, Perek He. Says, first it says, Asara deres me'odam ad noyach, v'yadiyah kama erech apayim lefonov. There were 10 generations from Adam to Noach to show how patient the Kodesh Baruch Hu was. Then, Asara Daris, mi Noach ad Avram. There were 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Good. Next Mishnah. Asara Nisyoinais, Nisnasa Avram Avinu Alav Asholom Ve'omad Bekulam. In the first Mishnah, when it's just saying the Daris, it doesn't say Avram Avinu. In the second Mishnah, suddenly, when we talk about the Nisyonis of Avram, he's called Avram Avinu, Avram our father. What's the difference? Chaim Volozhin says the following. Kan amar Avram Avinu, ule'el amar min noyach ved Avram, ve'le'i omar Avinu. One place is Avinu, one place not. Yerotze bazel pima shekosov, mishalech betuma itzadik, ashrei bonav acharov. A tzaddik goes according to his simpleness, betumai, his pureness. Ashrei bonav acharav. Happy are the children who come afterwards. Why? Ki kama midos shatzaddik tarach v'yoga lasigam. There are many midos that the avos worked hard to reach that point. Levonav acharav hema keteva mutma. What the Avos worked so hard to achieve became second nature by the children. And he gives some examples. K'may shenira b'chush, like we can see clearly. Sh'rabi me'amei aretz me'yehudim meisrim es atzma malkidesh Hashem. You find examples of simple yidden who are able to be meisr nefesh, al kiddush Hashem. How can they do that? It comes me'avinu Avram. Shemaser nafshel urkastim al amunasoi. He was willing to give his life in urkastim. That kayach, if you will, that Avram Avinu was able and willing to be meiser nefesh, that is the power that a person bizman is, a simple person, has the capacity to be meiser nefesh. V'chein kol asar nisyoines hayu lahasir derech, lahayshir derech lefaneinu. All of the nisyoines were all to give us, to make it easier for us. V'chein ha'hisayrus lo'odam pisayim leilach le'artzeinu akadosha. Hua minisoyin lech lecha. How did Avraham Avinu, he picked himself up and went to Eretz Yisrael? That's how people says Reb Chaim Volozhin were ready and picked themselves up and go to Eretz Yisrael. The Kabbalah is called the Abdin Mishmaya Latav Minisayin Harav Shalahir Achramidois. And how is it that people so easily understand that Koma the Avid Rahman Latav Avid? Everyone understands that everything Hashem does is for the good. How do they accept that? That was all because Avraham Avinu was able to do it. Since Avraham Avinu did it, we can do it. This, says Reb Chaim Volozhin, is the aside of why they are called Avos. They are Avos because they were Moser to us, the Banim, the children. These basic Midos, these basic Yesoides of what we can do, all came from Avraham Avinu. Now, I think in understanding this, the simple understanding, the way it's usually said over, it's like a kind of a DNA idea. The Avos did things, and they somehow implanted in the DNA of Yidden these koiches and this ability to do these actions, these great actions. But I think on an Al Pi Derech HaTeva, there's also a pshat. You know, the Parsha says, this is already moving on to Toldos a little bit, says that when Yitzchak, he was mispal and noichach ishtoi, and the Torah implies vayaser loy. The Torah, Hashem listened to the tefillah of Yitzchak, even though both were davening. The Torah says that Kadosh Baruch was noy to the tefillah of Yitzchak. Why, says Rashi? Rashi says, anybody know the Rashi? Wake you all up a little bit, see if anybody's listening. Who? Huh? Tzadik ben Tzadik. That's it. Now the Tzadik ben Tzadik has some kind of a mile of a Tzadik ben Rasha. So the Alter von Kelm says, you know what the pshat is? A tzaddik, his father lives a certain life. He sets a bar for what's acceptable, for how we are noig, for how we behave, for what we do. The son automatically is born into such a world with that bar, with that raised bar. So the Alter von Kelm understands that if the tzaddik moves a little further than the father, just a little, he gets all the schusim of the father plus. He's on a higher level. Why? Because that bar was raised. It's a certain standard that we do in our family. That's how we behave. That's how we're noyeg. That's the mile a tzaddik has in a tzaddik. A tzaddik ben Rosh is a grace of mile also. Somebody who didn't grow up in a home where of Torah and Yiras Shemayim and still achieves level of tzidkus, gevaldik. But a tzaddik has a whole new standard by which he sets for himself. That's the mile of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. The avos, through their hanhogas, have set for us what's a given for history, a given for how we expect Yidden to be noyig in difficult situations. It's incredible. And even sometimes, when we find ourselves not being noyig, in a way which we would expect should be lamala lamala, a person can even feel terrible about himself, that he didn't reach that standard. I'll give you an example, maybe you all know the story. The piyut, when the Tana Tokif said in Yom Kippur, you know the story of how that piyut was written? Anybody know the story? You know the story? Huh? Amram remains, right. And what happened? He got, the Bishop of Mainz told him, he wants him to come and he should convert. And what did he say? Give me 3 days to think about it. And then what happened after 3 days? He said no. And then what did he ask the bishop to do? To cut out his tongue. Bishop said, no, no, no. Why cut out the tongue? So he said, because I'm so embarrassed that I even said give 3 days. Ki'ilu, ki'ilu, I was ready to even think about it. So the bishop said, I'm not only going to cut your tongue out, what am I going to do? Cut his legs joint by joint. And after he cut off his legs, what did he do? He cut off his arms joint by joint. Tortured him viciously. To the point that he died. He was brought home. He was the original basket case. He was brought back home. And he died at home. 3 days later, he appeared in a dream, Tribclanimus ben Mishulam. And he told him, oh, I left out something. Before he died, he asked to be brought to the Aron Kodesh. And at the Aron Kodesh, he said a tefillah. At the Aron Kodesh, while he said, when he finished the tefillah, he was nifter. 3 days later, Reb Klinis ben Meshulam had a dream. Reb Amnon Mimeins came to him in a dream and told him the nusach of the Netanya Tokef. And that nusach, Reb Klinis ben Meshulam reported and sent out to the entire Goyla, and that's the nusach of Netanya Tokef that we say today in Yom Kippur. When you say it, you know the story, how powerful. Where did he have that koyach to withstand that torture? To withstand what was done to him? He was embarrassed that he even did it. This all comes because if Avram could do it, we could do it. You know, Avram, the wonderful tzidkis of Avos, they lived difficult lives. Did you ever think about it? What kind of lives they left? How hard the lives they left? Look at Avram. Can you imagine? He's the person who was the first to bring the idea of monotheism. You know that big word? That's a really big word. Monotheism. The belief that there's only one God, Avodah Zarah, is nonsense. He brought it into the world. He was the only one. And he went through hardships that you can't believe. Nimrod was ready to throw him into a Kivshan HaEsh. And you know what? His being thrown into the Kivshan HaEsh, Ledaiti, maybe I'm wrong, is one of the greatest Mesiris Nefeshes that I can think of, if you just think of it in its full form. In most cases of people who are Meisir Nefesh, it's a terrible thing. A person gives up his life. But there's something that comes with it. It may not be what he's thinking about, but it's certainly there. Your children, when a person is Meisir Nefesh, are going to be very proud of you. That my father was Meisir Nefesh for what he believed in. You'll go down in history, possibly, in certain cases. People will know about it. It becomes Mefursim. With Avram, he's the only person in the world who believes in this Hashgafa. If Avram decides to turn himself in and do Avodah Zarah, no one will know about it. And I'll tell you more. If Avram goes in the Kivshan HaEsh and he's burned up, no one's going to know about it either. The guy died, forgotten. There's no children. There's nobody walking around telling the story. No one's going to go on. He's forgotten. That act of Mesiras Nefesh, that he was ready to give everything he had up for an idea that went against the whole world, it's incredible. And that is the bar by which we appreciate through all the Dairis, through the Inquisition, through the Holocaust, that we understand that's the bar of what Mesiras Nefesh is about. Avram doesn't have children. He goes through a very difficult life. He finally has a child, Yishmael, and he has to send him away. Then he has Yitzchak. Then he has other children. He sends them away. And how does he die? Torah says, he says, b'sfar rotzayim. He dies happy. He dies with a complete happy life. His son Yitzchak also has also a difficult life. He's planning, that's this week's parasha coming up, Rabbi Yisai. He's planning his whole life with only one plan in mind. The Hemshech is going to go to Esav. He finally becomes blind, assuming his Nichshav Kameis. And then, in one fell swoop, in one moment, he suddenly discovers that his whole plans are shot. The wrong person got the brachas. The whole plans are messed up. And what's his reaction? He catches himself. Then he says, Mize, Mievo, who took those brachas? Then he catches himself. Gam baruch yeh. He hopped it. He hopped that this is the rotzen of Hashem. This is what Hashem wanted. And he has no more questions. He doesn't even ask. It's not reported. We don't see that he ever asked Yaakovino, what's going on? How did you do it? What are the details? What happened? He asks no more questions. He simply calls in Yaakov at the end and sends him off to go into Haran and find a wife for yourself. Rivka, her son, she'll never see Yitzchak again. She sends him away, never sees him again. We're told Esav is angry at his mother. loses contact from Esav, and the Pashtus Rivka dies. There is no one to bury her. Both her son, one son is away, one son is not talking to her, and she's buried by the locals and put into Maris Pela, and that's how she died. But they never, ever, at any one moment, ever questioned Hashem, ever questioned, what are you thinking? What's going on? What? Nothing. That is the incredible keichus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, that the Ovis have given us, I'm sorry, the Ovis have given us to understand that is the bar for future dairies, that they didn't question things either. You know, we're talking about Mesiras Nefesh. There's a tzibur, which nobody talks about today. I see some older people here will know what I'm talking about. Nobody, they're around us, they're living among us. I live in Ayin Zeira. We have a couple of people from that kufa. You know, anybody know stories about Soviet Jewry? Not too much, right? You know what I'm talking about, right? You're still old enough. I'm still from the minor crowd. We stood outside in Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza and screamed and yelled that you got to give freedom to the Soviet Jews. They're totally forgotten. This Tzibur, Rabbi Isai, I recommend you. There are books in English. There's one book for Carmela Reyes named Blue Star of a Red Square. There's another book from Yemen Silber. Just read. You'll start reading these books and you won't believe that these stories are real and these people are alive and well and you can speak to them. To see the kind of Mesiras Nefesh that a person in the Soviet Union had to go through to keep their mitzvahs. What's even more remarkable is that Hashgachas Hashem and how Hashem protected them and took care of them as they went through their lives. Rev Zilber reports, I don't know if you can appreciate this, in his whole life, 40 to 50 years, I don't remember the exact how much, it was 40 or 45, 47 years, he says he never was Mechal Shabbos. And you read in the story of week after week, whenever he had to report for his job on Shabbos, something happened, this happened, that happened, he didn't have to report. Or he came into work and something happened and his thing didn't work and he didn't have to do malacha. In each case, week after week, he was safe from doing it. It's incredible. When he finally made Aliyah and he came to Eretz Yisrael, after years of living in a Soviet Union, who trailed, you had bugs in your house looking to find out if you were a Yid. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize I'm going over time. I lost track. Okay. We'll finish. I want to close one final story and that's it. Let me just say, I did not realize the time. I apologize, I came late. Let me just close with one last maisa. I want to tell you a story from the Chassid Yaivitz. I'll say it fast. It's a powerful maisa. After the Inquisition, he reports from the Chassid Yaivitz, who was from that time, from the Gerish from Spain, reports the story of a woman. A woman who left Spain, and she went on a boat with all she had, a bag of diamonds and two sons. On the boat, while she was on the boat, she put her diamonds in her place where she was staying in the boat, and some robbers snuck in and stole her diamonds. So she lost all her money. But she still had her two sons. Thank you, Hashem, for my sons. While the boat was on its journey, he says, the boat started to sink, and she had to jump into the water with her two sons. One of the sons didn't survive and drowned. So now all she had left was her single son. They arrived on the shores of Turkey, and after she was there for a couple of weeks, her son developed malaria, and he also died. And he writes powerful words. She turned to Kadosh Baruch Hu and said, Bari Olam, you can take away everything. You can take away everything I have, but there's one thing you can't take away from me, and that's you. I'll never let go of you. This we have from the others. In their times that were most difficult, they never let go of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. When things seemed so down, there was one thing they clung to, was a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And that's why we're mechuyev to mechabed the mokum kever of the others, to mechabed that zeker, because we have from them everything we have. This bar that's been set from us comes from the others, and that's why Hordus, the Melech, built such an incredible building on the kever of Maris HaMechpelah. Okay, here we go. That's some more stories. Very inspiring. Very inspiring. Thank you so much.